We're going to be looking at this passage in John 9, so if you've got a Bible and you want to refer to it, have that available. You might want to do that on your app. You might want to do that on something else that you've got. Have a look at that. And we're going to be looking through this passage this morning. But I've got a question right at the beginning. What makes believing in Jesus crazy for you? I mean, is it something that's just totally ridiculous as far as you're concerned, believing in Jesus? Is it too complicated? And you think, well, it's not going to solve my problem, so it's just too hard and I can't be bothered with it. Or is Christianity too exclusive? You know, like there's only a few people that really, really believe. So, oh no, it's just too exclusive. It's just too separate. I don't want to be part of a small group. Is it because perhaps there's too much suffering and evil in the world? You know, when you've seen what happened on Monday, and then you've seen what happened actually in Egypt on Monday, the very same day, more people died in Egypt on Monday because gunmen attacked coaches than they did in Manchester. Is it because Christians have caused wars? Or God gets angry and sends people to hell, and maybe that's the sort of thing that you don't like? Well, the Bible's unreliable. You know, how can you know that this book that's supposed to be 2,000 years old has got real truth in it? How do you know that? I'd say to you, give Christianity a fair hearing. Don't make judgments about it before you actually know what's really true about Christianity. You might think, well, it's too big a risk. My friends don't believe it. It's not cool. It's weird. My family would think I'm nuts. Work colleagues just wouldn't understand. Why would I want to spend that much time going to church? They'd think I'm wasting my life. No, I'll take life as it comes. Can't be too serious about anything. It requires too much thinking. Maybe it's too solemn, man. I want something that's lighter and entertaining. The twisted, lined, cracked face of the 60-ish-year-old woman trudging up the hill struck me. How many people had passed her that morning as she begged for a few coins? I was on holiday. How many people like me had simply looked away and walked on? Ben begged. Yep, if you're in John 9, I'm giving him the name Ben. It makes it easier than saying that man all the time. Ben begged. Every day for as long as he could remember. No state benefits. He was a drain on the family. It cost them to feed him. He couldn't work. He couldn't join others doing sport. He'd no money for gigs or parties. He was skint. He was blind. But things were about to change. Why was he born blind? Had he done something dreadfully wrong? Had his parents? Was he being punished by God? Were his parents being punished by God for something they'd done? No, says Jesus. No. He's like he is, so God's work can be shown in his life. He's not perfect, so everyone can see how awesome God really is. Do you know, you're like you are and I'm like I am. So God's work can be shown in our lives. We're not perfect, so everyone can see how awesome God really is. Ben knew he wasn't perfect. It was obvious. But we try to pretend we are perfect, even though it's obvious we're not. We think we're okay, don't we? Well, apart from a few minor things maybe. Makeup can cover a few blemishes. Wearing the right clothes may improve how we look a bit. Going to the gym helps out a bit if we go enough. Eating a healthy, balanced diet helps more. Just one or two things need to be sorted. But there's more to us, isn't there, that needs... There's more to us than looks and fitting in with others. There's that temper that seems to grab us from nowhere. There's that sense of the slipping of the chocolate bar into our pocket won't be noticed. Oh, and I really do struggle with being nice to people who irritate me. I know I can't handle money well. I'm always overspent and have to keep borrowing. Yes, we aren't perfect, even though we'd like to think we're not that bad. However, to be right with God, we need to be perfect. And we need to admit we're not. Now, Ben was blind. He knew it. Pretending he could see was just ridiculous. But we're so proud and stubborn, aren't we? We won't admit we need help. We can't see we're blind. We're trapped in our own ideas. We're trapped by the people around us, the things that they say and do. We want to fit in with the crowd, our group. Ben couldn't, and he had to admit it. Ben wasn't free. He was trapped by his blindness. We need to get real with ourselves and admit we're not perfect. If we don't, we spend our lives playing some sort of pretend game, pretending to be someone we really aren't, trying to impress others to make us feel good. Unexpectedly, Jesus meets him, spits on the ground, makes some mud, and pops it on the man's eyes. Did Ben know what was going on? Well, if you look at verse 11, it implies that he did. Blind people usually have got very sharp hearing. I reckon Ben knew what was going on. With the mud caking his eyes, Jesus said to him, "Now go and wash in Siloam." Oh, where's that? Why there? How would he get there? Who knows how he got there? Did his friends take him? Did he have to stumble along? "Direct me to Siloam. Tell me where Siloam is." How did he get? We don't know. But what a fantastic change. As he washed the mud away, he could see. Brilliant. Now he could get on with life. Well, not quite. Not just yet. Not as he thought, anyway. "Ben, is that really you?" "No, can't be. Can't be Ben, the guy who sat and begged." "Well, it looks like him, but I am. It's me. I am Ben." How did it happen? Where's Jesus? When we get real with ourselves and admit we're not perfect, when we realize we need help, look out for Jesus. He will find us. Maybe even this morning, he's looking for you as you're realizing how much you need help. He's ready to make a fantastic change in your life. Jesus can remove the stuff that stops us seeing who he really is. He'll open our spiritual eyes, our minds, our hearts, so we can understand how great he really is. And what a difference it made to Ben. Jesus wants to make that difference in our lives too. He wants us to have life to the full. And he knows we can't if we refuse to admit we're not perfect. Hang on to our own blind ideas. He knows we can't. Ben's neighbors and friends could hardly believe the change. They didn't recognize him. They couldn't see how it could have happened. "The man they call Jesus," he told them. "Where is he? I don't know." Now comes the clarification. They know it's the same man, Ben, but they don't know who could have done such an awesome thing, and they want to find out. When we meet Jesus and do what he says, our lives change. When he's given us sight, we'll be different. And those around us may want to know more about Jesus, the one who changed us. To check out things officially, they take Ben to the religious leaders who would know about this sort of thing. The Pharisees were scrupulously religious. They were impeccable in doing their religious duties. So they ask Ben, "How did you get to see?" They check out his story and become then totally confused. "The man who did this broke the law, the rule about keeping the Sabbath special. But how can someone who did such an awesome thing do it if he was a sinner? If he was a rule breaker, how does that fit together? So for clarification, they ask Ben, what do you reckon about the man who healed you? He's a prophet, says Ben. In other words, someone who's sent with a message from God. The Jews just couldn't make sense of what they saw and heard. Their ideas were so fixed. It was like a pneumatic drill cracking open the concrete of their minds. So they call in Ben's parents. They're a bit more senior. They'll tell us the truth. They confirm Ben was indeed born blind, but they can't tell how he now sees. They know how powerful these religious leaders are, and they're cautious in how they answer in case they end up by being punished. So they suggest asking him, as he's old enough to legally answer for himself. Ben, now, tell us the truth. Give glory to God. That's what they're really saying. Tell us the truth. You didn't tell us the whole truth before. We now need to hold the whole truth. And out they come with their concrete encrusted view. We know that this man who you say healed you is a sinner. We know he's a sinner because he broke our law. Sinner or not, I can't say, says Ben. I was blind, now I can see. How did he do it? I've told you already. Do you want to become his followers? The pneumatic drill hit a serious nerve in their minds. Maybe if there'd only been one or two listening, they would have thought things through more clearly. But with everyone together, the concrete was like impenetrable. So the insults start to come out. Verses 28 and 29. Their way to defend their wobbly position. Insult him. Be angry, and it will shut Ben up. He won't dare to challenge them more, but Ben did. He did challenge them more. The drill was still at work. God was graciously speaking through him, trying to get through their stubbornness to help them see their imperfections. Ben could see they were blind. He tells them things they knew were true. They couldn't deny what he was saying, but they were feeling so threatened. Their culture, their ideas were so fixed, the concrete would not give way. They were blind. You were born in sin. How dare you lecture us? Get out! Are you prepared to think about things differently? Do you feel threatened? Is your mind like concrete? Are you blind? What do you really make of Jesus? Ben was now in a vulnerable situation, no longer a beggar, but isolated. And that's how it is today for some who believe in Jesus. Their friends and their family reject them. They shut them out because the concrete of their minds is impenetrable. But just then, when it all seems hopeless, Jesus finds Ben. Do you believe in the Son of Man? Physically, he can see, and he partially understands Jesus is special. He's called him a prophet, a messenger from God. But he's not actually seen Jesus. He was blind when Jesus first met him. And Jesus sent him away to wash so he could see. This is the first time he can really see Jesus. And Jesus asks him this question, do you believe in the Son of Man? What sort of question is that? The question is whether you believe in the man who God has sent to save people. Who is he, sir? Tell me, so I can believe. You've now seen him, says Jesus. In fact, he's the one speaking with you. Lord, I believe. Ben's blindness had been cured. Not only could he see physically, Now he could see spiritually who Jesus was. God's son, who'd come to save people from their sin. But Ben and Jesus weren't alone. There were others around. And now Jesus speaks to them. For judgment, he says, I've come into this world so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, what? Are we blind too? Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. Now that you claim to see, your guilt remains. Are you blind? Do you think you're okay? Are your ideas and the culture around you like concrete, stopping you from thinking about what really is truth? Is your mind, is your heart like concrete? Do they stop you seeing you're not perfect? Jesus came to show us what God is really like. He came to demonstrate truth to us. His love is so great. Because of the hard-heartedness of the religious leaders, Jesus was rejected. Those around him had hearts like concrete. Even though the drill was working hard to break open their fixed views, eventually Jesus was arrested. He was accused of blasphemy and sentenced to death. Finally, he was brutally crucified. Jesus' death was the sacrifice to take the punishment for our sin, our imperfections. He was perfect and therefore able to substitute for us. If we believe in him and follow him, we receive his goodness. God then sees us as perfect. Look again. See how Jesus came to rescue you, as he did Ben, so you can really know the awesome God. Is that crazy?